So let me share some of the things that you told me make decision-making so difficult. Here's one of the staff that says, my wife tends to really take her time when making decisions, even in fast food restaurants. She came from a critical and toxic environment where if you mess up or choose incorrectly, you're criticized and ridiculed. So for her, she takes her time and feels the need to get it right every time, whether it's ordering from a menu or making a big life decision.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy continues his series, Making Better Decisions. Now to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living. We are interesting creatures, aren't we? We honestly believe that every decision we make is going to alter the orbit of the world and the Earth through its pathway around the sun. But seriously, sometimes we get so caught up in, as Christians, not realizing that at the end of the day, we have limited choices. We have really limited opportunity to make choices, but the choices we make matter for our lives. But if we just relax and understand that the scripture says that all things do work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, as we immerse ourselves in God's purpose and design and love for us, that takes reading scripture and prayer and really, you know, really immersing ourselves in allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And once you've prayed through a decision, make it and move. Make a decision and move and trust him. If it's wrong, then back up and say, God, direct me in another direction. That's really the core, I think, of this whole series is to help you make better decisions, make intentional decisions, make the decision, then act on it, live it every day. Boy, that'll change your life. We're going to go back into the teaching studio in just a moment as I pick up day two on this topic. And a reminder, members of Intentional Living, our families all around the country and individuals who are standing with us every month, this teaching is on its way to you this month. It's our way of saying thank you. And for new members who have been coming along, God bless you. We got a couple other very special starter gifts to help you get started on your intentional journey. We'll tell you about that in a little bit later. If you have a comment you want to share about decision-making or a decision you've made or prayer that you'd like to have us pray about a decision, tell us, 888-888-1717. All right? We're going to continue now as we look at making decisions that honor Christ, decisions that will make a difference in our life, decisions that will move us in a direction of being more intentional. Let's take a listen. Then we start thinking about making decisions, and maybe you're like me. Is it hard for you to make decisions? Sometimes you find the decisions hard to make. And you all know as a staff, I ask you to share some of your thoughts on why decisions are so difficult to make. And I'm not using any names, but you all responded beautifully. So let me share some of the things that you told me make decision-making so difficult. Here's one of the staff that says, my wife tends to really take her time when making decisions, even in fast food restaurants. She came from a critical and toxic environment where if you mess up or choose incorrectly, you're criticized and ridiculed. So for her, she takes her time and feels the need to get it right every time, whether it's ordering from a menu or making a big life decision. So one of the reasons people have trouble making decisions is because of past experiences. Which, let me just put a parenthesis in here. One of the reasons that Intentional Living, we teach parents to allow your children to make mistakes, make decisions, and then, you know, hold them accountable, is if we don't allow our children to make decisions when they're young and fail and be okay and be in a safe place where they can make those decisions and fail, how in the world are they going to make the big decisions later on in life? So allowing your children to make decisions and fail is an important thing in your home. Here's another staff member that says, fear of making the wrong decision means some will choose not to act. Fear, it's a big reason we don't make decisions. Here's someone that says, my tendency to think of every possible outcome before I act, right? Which can be perfectionism. We can be perfect. Again, it's got to be the perfect decision. Because if I make a mistake, you know, it just got to be the right decision. Here's another staff member that says the risk that they don't want to take. It's risky, making a decision. Well, here's the thing about making a decision. Every time you make a decision, there's a trade-off that occurs. Because if I do this, I've chosen not to do that. If I turn left at the stop sign to go that way to the store, I've chosen not to go right. Now, that's sort of an insignificant one, but if I choose to marry this person, I chose not to marry that person. See? And so these choices, they become sort of risky because there's a cost associated with these choices. Here's another comment. Unsure of the real issues involved, not sure what choices may actually be. In other words, not really aware of what the options are and the choices. Not ready to make a decision because of other equally difficult issues in life, finance and health and so on. So there's a kind of a sense of being overwhelmed. There's just so many decisions. How many of us just get stuck after a while? In fact, the research is very clear. If you give people too many choices when you go into a grocery store, for instance, they won't make any decision at all. If you give them like two choices, they're more likely to pick something. If you give them five, they get stuck. Do you do that? I do that. Like, well, which one is it? You know, which one do you want? Here's another comment about why decisions are difficult. They believe they do not have enough information to make the decision. They believe they will look bad if they make the wrong decision. So this sense of personal image and can I make a mistake? They have made many decisions in the past and some of them didn't work out well. So past experience of failing. Here's a comment from another staff member that says, some people are procrastinators, then try to make a decision, and after that they second-guess the decision that they've made. You ever done that? Something that I do, for sure. Some people tend to overthink, fearing the consequences of bad decisions. We overthink it. We overanalyze it when it comes to decision-making. Here's another comment. It says, there are many ways to take this, but spiritually speaking, faith has a lot to do with decision-making. I've learned when I step out of the way, the decision then becomes easy to make because I've got peace of the Lord to either make the decision or not to make the decision. In other words, trusting God. We're going to see that as we talk about decision-making as Christians, we have a different pattern in this process of making decisions.
Thanks for listening to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy Carlson will be right back. Today's teaching is just a portion of a multi-part lesson to help you be intentional for your life. To see how you can receive a complete copy of today's teaching on CD, go to theintentionallife.com.
Have you ever looked at your calendar and simply said, oh, I just don't want to do that today?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, our intentional counselor and coach.
King David did, and here's how it started. It was now spring, the time of the year when kings go to war, and David sent out the whole army under the command of Joab. But David, he stayed home. We soon learned that his decision was devastating. The Bible goes on to say, David got up from a nap and was walking around the roof of his palace, and a beautiful young woman was down below in her courtyard bathing. Adultery, murder, and cover-up, and the death of a newborn would follow. There were consequences for years to come, but David did find forgiveness with God. So the next time you want to blow off a God appointment, you may want to ask, Father, is this what you want me to do? For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Today, forgiveness.
The What's that you're listening to?
Oh, it's a podcast from Dr. Randy. I missed the show yesterday. Just pulled it up while I had a few minutes.
You? A webcast? I remember when I had to show you how to check email.
Well, I figured if I have to be on the computer, I might as well get something good out of it, right?
Hear a show you missed. Find out about events and conferences and share your story at the Intentional Living website.
Forgiveness is Can you show me how you found that?
Just go to theintentionallife.com.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire study. This month only, with your gift to the ministry, you'll receive our exclusive 2017 weekly planner called My Plan for Hope. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
Let me make some statements about decisions, and then we're going to get really practical in terms of how do you make decisions? You know, how is it that you come to making decisions in your life? Here's a few statements. Not all decisions are created equal. But unfortunately, many times we treat all decisions as though they are equal. Some of us spend more time trying to make a decision on where we want to go on a vacation than we do a decision about our life or our finances or our health or our career or whatever it may be. And the fact is, not all of them are created equal. One research study showed that we'll make about 775,000 decisions in a lifetime. Another one that I read, of course, you know how that goes. What are you researching here? But another one said that we make 3,000 decisions a day. You know, I mean, that'd be minuscule. Am I going to move my hand here? Obviously, that would be millions of decisions. But just consider this for a moment. Even if you only made 10 sort of reasonably significant decisions every day, just 10 decisions every day, over a lifetime, that would be 250,000 in a lifetime. And even if only one out of 100 of those were really significant, in other words, had the opportunity to change the course of your life in some way, that would mean on the very conservative side, you and I in a lifetime are making at least 2,500 significant life-altering kinds of decisions. You know, who we marry and where we live and how we spend our money, or am I going to trust God? Am I going to believe in Christ? Am I going to submit and become a follower of Christ? And these decisions that we make that are life-altering. And if we were to stop and go around with a microphone here, my guess is you could all share with me some of those 2,500 decisions you've made that have gotten you here, good or bad, but decisions that have made you've made in your life that have made a difference. So not all decisions are created equal. Secondly, we don't control the outcome of most of our decisions. This is where I think we get into trouble, those of us who like to control. And maybe one of the reasons we fear making decisions is because, like we've said, I fear what the outcome is going to be. There's a proverb that says in 1633, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. See, in ancient days, when decisions had to be made or there was some dispute, they would cast lots. That's how those, you know, that's how those decisions would be made. And so the writer of the Proverbs is saying to us, you know, in many ways, you get what you get in life. You didn't pick your DNA. You got what you got. I mean, and I got what I got. We have no control over that. We don't have control over other people. We don't have control over the wars that are going on in the world. We don't have control of what happens in the economy. You don't have control when you go out on the street today what somebody else is going to do. So in many ways, we don't control as much as we think we control. You may remember the lesson I did on the three-foot rule, and I think I was standing on this very carpet here, this circular carpet that's about 3 foot across, saying about all I control is about that much. What goes on inside of my head and my heart and what I choose to do. But I don't have control of what everything else that goes on around me. And so the proverb writer is saying, yeah, the lot has been cast. Now, we know that it's more than just by chance, but God has ordained who we are and where we sit here today. But as the proverb writer says, but it's every decision is from the Lord. So I think one of the things that should give us freedom in decision making, if we do it correctly, is not to always feel responsible for the outcome. We can't always be responsible for what the outcome is in a decision that we make. You can make a decision today and the outcome will be different than you thought it was going to be. But if you made that decision in the right way, with the right intention, and you did it in honoring God, then you have freedom to say, I can't be responsible for what the outcome is always going to be. Because there's so many variables that I have no control over. I think this should give some comfort to people who've gone through a process in making a decision to get married and later find out the person I married was, quote, the wrong person. That I followed God, I made a decision that I really felt was honoring to Christ. I went through the process of knowing what my intentions are. We're going to talk about intention and the power of intention in a few minutes. But later find out, hey, this isn't what I thought. See, it's comfort in knowing I can't be responsible for all the outcomes, but what I can be responsible is for my decisions. Taking responsibility for what I do, that's what decision making really comes down. So we can't control the outcome. Number three, One decision can change the course of your life.
Boy, there's no question about that. And you may be living the consequence of that one decision that you made, you know, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. Maybe it's been a really good consequence, but maybe it's been an unintended consequence. But here you are, and the good news is God is a God of forgiveness, and sometimes we've got to put the brakes on, back it up, and ask God to help us get back on the right track, because He will. He's a God who loves us. You know, we're sharing this teaching with you at the beginning of the year intentionally, because we know that this is a time that we're still setting goals and plans and resolutions and what have you for the year. And the plans that you make will make a difference. That's why we call this Making Better Decisions in 2017. And we have something very special for every person who will come and join us in monthly support of this ministry of intentional living right now and start this journey for yourself this year. Get started with the goal of every day living intentionally in Christ. And I'll tell you what it is. We have the brand new My Plan for Hope 2017 weekly calendar. It's beautiful. And guys, your wife will especially enjoy it because of the way it's designed, but the content is for you as well. And it'll be something you can use in your home. And then we have the Intentional Living Starter Kit, which includes my book, The Power of One Thing, and my book, Starve for Affection, Why We Crave It, Why It's So Important in Marriage. And along with this teaching, by the way, this entire teaching will come to you on CD. Wow, great way to get started this year. Come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate. Be one who joins us. I'd love to read your name on the air here in the days ahead and say thank you for joining in. We'll get this off to you ASAP. Or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. We love the mailbag. We love the comments you all share with us. Here's one from Donna. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Donna. I had recently started listening to your program, and there was one program that came through, and I didn't know if I did love my spouse. We're recently married, 4 years. We're still newlyweds. And for one of your shows, that I discovered that love was a choice. And now that I know it was a choice, I know that I love my husband with all my heart, and I know he loves me. And I never knew what love was. And I just wanted to let you know that it is totally true. If you make a choice and pursue it, your feelings do change. And I just want to say thank you for your programs. I listen to them every night on the way home. Have a blessed night.
Thank you. And you're absolutely right. You know, we become what we choose to think about and how we behave. Behavior makes a difference. That sounds so goofy in this culture today, doesn't it? That, you know, love's a choice, hang in there, make a decision. Because everything in our culture today screams, if it doesn't feel good now and it's not instant and it's not immediate and I can't Google it or have an app for it or I can't make love happen in an instant, then it must not be real. And that's not the reality. The reality is, it's a process, and it's a decision, and it's a process of living it out every day. Thank you, Donna. Adam wants to join in as well. Here's Adam.
Hi, my name is Adam, and I was calling in today to kind of to give the one testimony on one thing I could work on, and I'm going to focus on the next 30 days, and that's overall just talking less and listening more, especially with my wife. I have the tendency to talk a little bit too much, and sometimes I think I miss a lot of the points of what she's trying to get across because I'm so concerned about what I need to say. So I'm focusing a lot on just listening and talking less.
That's great. Hey, can I give you a really simple idea on this? It's a little quip that you hear, bite your tongue. Next time you hear your wife talking and she's sharing something and, and your mind's starting to run with what you're going to say, I'm telling you, inside your mouth, so she can't see it, just on the tip, bite your tongue, right? That's a very real reminder that I'm going to listen to every word and then I'm going to weigh my words very carefully before I speak them. Bite your tongue should be a slogan put up on the wall or in your mirror for this year, okay? Hey, by the way, if you have a comment how you're living intentionally, what God's doing in your life, tell me about it. I'd love to hear. All you have to do is call us at 888-888-1717 and join us on the storyline, the comment line. Which button is that, Stephen? Which button do they put? Number two. Number two will take you there. And tell us your story. Love to hear it.
I fought weight all my life. It's been an up and down thing. And I am 66 years old, and I finally said, I've had it. I can't do it anymore. And I turned to God, and I prayed, and He has turned me around. He's taken away my cravings. I have actually lost a few pounds, and so I see Him working in my life very strongly, and I praise Him. If you give it to God, He can work miracles. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jason. I was listening to your guys on air, and well, it was about, you know, keeping healthy and losing weight and stuff like that. And one of the things that I've found is just being a happy person and, you know, not necessarily just stressing out and being completely obsessed and focused on losing weight, but, you know, just making small efforts every day and doing a little bit every day and trying to be happy with your friends and family. That's the real way to lose it, not only lose it, but to keep it off permanently.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
She sent me to the grocery store for bread, milk, and eggs. I came back from the hardware store with light bulbs and a new lawnmower. She says, you didn't write it down. I said, I make it up as I go. That's how I roll. My New Year's resolution? Avoid my wife's glare of death and plan ahead.
Commit to a new way of living and experience hope in 2017. The Intentional Living 2017 Weekly Planner is the place to set goals and track results week by week and month by month. And it's yours with our thanks for your gift today at theintentionallife.com from Intentional Living Center.
All right. I don't know if you guys ever have you ever done that. The look. You got the look. Yeah, we got the look. That's for sure. Hey, listen, as we're wrapping up this day number two on making better decisions, I'm looking forward already to what we're going to be sharing with you on Friday's program tomorrow as we continue with this one decision, how it can change your life and how a little training can help in making better decisions. I'm going to give you some of that. I'm going to give you some of the training on decision making coming on tomorrow's program. You know, we talked about Christmas being wrapped up a few weeks ago, but here we are in January, and I think we still got a kind of a special way of saying thanks. We got a great gift for you. As you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, whatever God lays on your heart, but I want to challenge you to pray about either $25 or $40 a month and come and join us in support of the ministry every month. We can't do this without your help. I thank all of you who helped in 2016. Thanks to those of you who are continuing your monthly support. And we want to get these resources into your hands, including my monthly teaching, which, by the way, comes to all members, including you if you join today, Making Better Decisions, along with My Plan for Hope, a 2017 weekly planner, and two of our best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, that I'll autograph, by the way. If you call or join us online today, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And thank you. God bless you. Thank you for coming and joining with us.
Hi, my name is Claire, and I was calling regarding the best decision I've ever made, was to give birth to my beautiful daughter, Averyn. And I got pregnant my first year in college. I come from a family where my mother had an abortion, and a few friends of mine have had abortions, and it just seemed like the easy way out with a big future ahead of me. But I chose to give birth to her and keep her, and she reminds me every day how much God loves me, the abounding grace that God has for me as well.
I got pregnant before marriage, and I don't recommend that. However, I was for about 15 minutes considering abortion, but God jumped in there. I chose to carry my son. We are now married 14 years and have two sons. It's an awesome life.
The best decision that I made
outside of my relationship with Christ and my mate is to keep the baby that I had when I was an unwed mother. I made a decision, recommitted my life to Christ and obeying Him and walking with Him. My boyfriend at the time and I ended up marrying, and we've now been married 15 years and have watched as God has been faithful to take a waitress and a cook and provide the skills that we needed to take care of a family.
My best decision I ever made was to have my baby. I was unmarried. I chose to have the baby. It is the best decision I ever made. He has been a blessing. He's 25. It was tough, but we did it. And he's a blessing.
The best decision that I ever made was to choose life.
That you might live the life that He gives. You forever choose life the way that is true from the one who chose you, your Father in heaven. Choose life.
All right, choose, boy, there, now you talk about a decision that has a consequence. There's a big one. And, of course, if you hang around here much, you know that we are for life. Choose life. Great reminder. But, you know, for those of you who didn't, I just want to say, there, you know, you may be listening. You may be a woman who made a decision for an abortion in the past, and it still hurts. You know, God is a God of restoration and forgiveness, and I would ask you to make that decision today, to accept His intentional love and forgiveness for you and live in that freedom. Not in the bondage. Just a thought came to my heart as we're thinking about decisions today. Hey, listen, again, I want to say thanks before we get too far into this year. I know we're already 12 days in, but I want to say thanks to all of you who helped in 2016. We started this ministry as a listener-supported ministry. That's the way it operates. It's the way we roll here. When we do our conferences, all the support come back into the ministry. All the donations, all the resources when we sell books and tapes and so on come back to keep us going. And I thank you for standing with us. And I would ask you to pray about being a part of the team today. Okay? If you join us in monthly support, we got a great kit that we want to send to you. And by the way, this is the only time that I know of we're going to be able to do this, at least this part of the year, is this planner, My Plan for Hope. A weekly planner along with our two best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection, and the ongoing monthly teaching for your monthly support. Come and join us. God bless you. Go to TheIntentionalLife.com. That's TheIntentionalLife.com. Or call 888-888-1717, press number 4. More on decision-making tomorrow from Intentional Living.